Let me start at the bottom of Amud Bet, Amarova. So Rav is going to go through here a couple of cases, a number of cases that are out of the ordinary in terms of Kiddushin, and he's going to show parallels in other instances that we see in Halacha that will give us the answer to what the status of such a Kiddushin is. So the first case is 10 man of the ploni. The woman says to an individual, give money to a third party. Says this is Reuben and Leah. Leah says to Reuben, if you give Shimon Amana 100 zuz, then I'll be married. And I will become married, engaged. I will come mikudeshet to you. So the Gemara says, Rava says, it's not mikudeshet. That is their kiddushin is valid. Midin arev, because of the din of arev, which is a guarantor. Rashi says, obviously, when he gives the money to this third party, he has to say he has to say that you are engaged or you are mikudesha to me with this money, and it will work. Why? Because of a rave. How does a rave work? A rave lav apal gav dulo mati anali yodei. Even though he gets no benefit, a guarantor gets no benefit in the transaction. He's not receiving the loan. He's not getting anything out of it. But nevertheless, it's become a shabed nafshei. Nevertheless, that he subjects himself to being possibly called upon to pay back the loan. This woman similarly, even though she's getting no benefits here, I mean, all the money that she's asking for is going to a third party. Nevertheless, she will give herself over. She will allow the kiddushin to become effective. Now, it's not perfect. It doesn't even fit so perfectly into the lashon. But for instance, like the Tosfos Riazakin here explains that there really is hanoah involved in this. Because in Arev, a guarantor, I guess hanoah, the people that he's considered Naaman, that he's considered a reliable person, he's considered someone that people will go to in a time of need. So that guarantee, hey, is the hanoah. And with that hanoah, he's mishabed nafshet. And the same thing here with this woman. The woman tells the man to give money to another party. The fact that he listened, right, and did what her bidding or her instructions, that is also hanoah, and that hanoah, right, is what generates the kiddushin according to the Tosfos Riazakin.
It's more simply the hanoah is at the same time getting the money.
Right, but why is that hanoah to her?
It's an interest. It's just an interest.
All right, so I think that would be the easiest way to explain it, is that the arev, also in this case, which reads better into the Gemara, like Joel is suggesting, which is that the benefit that is going to this other party somehow is beneficial to her, right? That not just the following instructions, but somehow that him receiving the money is something that she wants, and that hanoah is enough to generate, right, the kiddushin over here. Right, so the next case is hilech mono vidkachi leponi. Right, so he says, this individual, Reuven, says to Leah, here, take this 100 zuz, and you should marry Shimon with this 100 zuz. So again, mikudeshet. This is a valid kiddushin. Why? Midin Eved Kenani. Similar to an Eved Kenani. What's the din of an Eved Kenani? Eved Kenani lap aval gav de lo kachoser velo midei kakani napshe. An Eved Kenani, even though he loses nothing, I mean that nothing comes out of his pocket, yet he's still able to acquire himself. For instance, if you have an Eved Kenani who's subjugated to an adon, and a third party comes along and says to his master, listen, I'll give you 100 zuz, and you free him. So in this case, the Eved Kenani has done absolutely nothing. Right, the transaction is between two parties that have nothing to do with him, and yet he's still able to acquire, right, himself. He's able to acquire his freedom. So same thing over here. The transaction or the interested parties are Reuven and Leah, and the man who's giving the money to the woman. Yet Shimon, who's going to marry this Leah, who had nothing to do with the transaction, is able to acquire, right, in a loose term, acquire this woman to have a kinyan, to have kinyan kiddushin with this woman. So Hai Gavra Nami, it says Apokav Dol Kachasav Lo Midei. This person Shimon, who has paid nothing and done absolutely nothing, Kakani La Lahayitato, he's able to acquire, establish kiddushin with this woman. So now the third case, Tain Mano Laploni Vekadeshani Lo. Right, so give a mana to another party, and I will be married to him, mikudeshet midin shnehem. It'll work from the two of them. So here, Reuven, she says to Reuven, listen, give 100 zuz to Shimon, and I will marry Shimon. Alright, so again, here she's receiving nothing, right? Because it's going to Shimon. Number two is Shimon, who's doing absolutely nothing, is now marrying this woman.
So what does Shimon say at the time of the Kiddushin?
Shimon, right, so Shimon has to say, Hariyat, right, Mikudesh Ali, with this money that, right, with that money that is being given from Reuven to Shimon. Right, so now, why does this work? Even though nothing ends up in his possession, right, nevertheless, he's willing to encumber himself. Even though she's not getting any direct benefit, she'll still be willing to give herself over to Kiddushin. So why it says Midomi? Those aren't similar cases. Why Arev Haidaka Kanile Kakaser Mimona? Right, the one who is generating the kinyan actually is losing money. He's actually giving up money, meaning that the malveh, the one who is lending the money, right here in the case of Arev, the one who is lending the money out, right, is actually the one who loses money over here. In our case, or he's the one that generates the quote unquote loss of money. In our case, Hakagavra Kakani La Lahai Itita. This person is acquiring this woman. Aloka Khasa Velomide. He has no benefit whatsoever. He's acquiring this woman without having put anything out on the line, right? As opposed to the Malvin in general, right, where he gives over money and the transaction is generated by him actually giving up something. That's what generates the kinyan or the transaction. So the Gemara says, Eved Kanani Yochiach. Well, then we have the case of Eved Kanani. The Kachasar Mamona, the Kachasar Mamona, and Eved Kanani himself loses no money. I mean, he gives up absolutely nothing, but Kakani Nafshei. And he is able to acquire himself. Me dummy. It says, how can you compare it to Nebuchadnezzar? Hotam hach the machne kakoni. Right? The one who is machne, I mean the one who is giving over the rights to the Ebuchadnezzar is kakoni, is receiving monetary compensation. His master receives the money and then gives him the freedom. Right? Over here, this woman is giving herself over and yet she is, what? Getting nothing. So I can compare it to an Eved Kanani. It says, "Lo kakani lo mida arav yochiach." So then the arav will prove back the other way. After lo matan ali aday mishab nafshe. Even though he gets absolutely no benefit, he's willing to encumber himself or subjugate himself to the payment of the paying back the loan. So between arav and Eved Kanani, you can come up with this possibility that a person can lose absolutely nothing, give up absolutely nothing. Right? Number one, and number two is a person can receive absolutely nothing, and the two of them can generate a kinyan between them, can generate a kiddushin between them. So this Shimon can marry this Leah, even though Shimon paid out absolutely no money, right? And Leah can give herself up, meaning that she can marry Shimon, even though she was received absolutely nothing. So the transaction transpired between Reuven and Shimon, and then Shimon and Leah are able to be married in that effect. And so now, by Rava comes up with a question about a fourth case. Helech mana v'kadesh ani right l'cha ma'u. What happens if she says, take this 100 zuz and I will be married to you? So the woman is giving the suitor, right, the prospective vow, the money and says, I'll be married to you with this. So Amar Mazutra Mishmei Rapapa Mikudeshet. He says it's a good kiddushin. So Amar Le Rav Ashi the Mazutrim Kain Havalei Nechasim Sheish Le Machrayut. We generally have a principle, and this principle is that there are different categories of property. In the Torah, there are different categories of property, which is nechasim sheish lemachariyut. Nechasim that have what's called some sort of guarantee behind them, that if they were taken away, the person has to replace them. That's dealing with real property, real estate, any real property that is somehow given over in a transaction is assumed to be guaranteed. That means if it somehow was encumbered or there was a lien on that property and was taken away, the person who sold it to you will replace it. There are something called nechasim she'en lahem achariyut. Nechasim she'en lahem achariyut are non-real property. Mekaltelin, things that are like a watch, right, a phone, all these items that are sold, they're not sold with any guarantees because people generally don't encumber those types of property because they disappear. Right? Property is encumbered because real estate doesn't move. If it doesn't move, then that's what people use as guarantees. So therefore, the assumption is when someone sells mekaltelin, Alkaline that sold free and clear, and that you would not have to guarantee such a transaction. Now, what happens when you want to acquire properties? So there are different ways to acquire property. When it comes to real property, real estate, right, you can acquire that through kesef, shtar, and chazaka. You do that either through money, you pay money, shtar, a document, a contract, or a chazaka. Chazaka is that you exert ownership over this property. How do you exert ownership of the property? You break a fence, you put up a fence, you do some hoeing or sowing, you do something in the field that exerts ownership. That's how you can acquire property. Metaltolin, on the other hand, how do you acquire metaltolin? Right, non-property is through kinyan. You need a kinyan hagbah, either you lift it up, a kinyan meshicha, right, you pull it, some sort of kinyan that finalizes the transaction. Now, as a general principle, we're going to see in a second, there's a mishnah, right, later on in Kiddushin, as well as we've seen many places in Shas, that you can, if one acquires real property, one acquires real estate, they, along with the real estate, can acquire all non-real property that's associated with it. So, for instance, someone buys real estate and there's a wheelbarrow on the property, or there's a, right, or there's a some sort of tractor on the property. Right, so these are non-real properties. If you buy the property, then along with the property acquisition, you also will acquire the tractor or the wheelbarrow. Right, if they were included in the transaction, you don't need a separate transaction to include the non-real property. So now what we have over here is an interesting case. Money is given by this woman to the prospective Baal, to her respective husband. So how does the Baal acquire the money? He lifts it up. Money is metalcum, it's non-real property. How do you, if someone gifts you money, how do you acquire that money? You have to make a kinyan. You have to lift it up. You have to make a kinyan akbal. So this husband, when he acquires the money, he makes a kinyan on it. Along with that kinyan of the money, what is he getting along with that? He's getting the woman, meaning that he's having kiddushin be effective, and he's getting the woman. So now you have, what is the woman, or what's the classification of a human being? Classification of a human being is the equivalent of real property. I mean, we have that by Eved Kanani, we have that in other places, that human is considered the equivalent of real property. Now what you are doing is you are acquiring the money, and along with that money is coming the woman. So what do you have? You have non-real property that is allowing you, through a kinyan of non-real property, to acquire real property. It's the reverse of what we normally have. So that's the Gemara's question right now. Okay, so there, the Gemara's going to ask in a second your question. Right, okay, right. It doesn't work. Right, Tosfos spoke about it over there. There's a machlokas we saw between Tosfos, who says that it might work in some cases, which is the case we're going to see in a second, and the Rif and others over on Daf Hey, who said that it never works in this instance. It's never going to work. And the halacha is, when she gives the money and she says, Hari, right, Hata, or Ani Ani Mekudesh Alach, right, depending on Rashi Tosfos, or machlokas, what language she uses, it's invalid. All right, now the Gemara is not even there yet, but the Gemara will get there in 1 second. Meaning the woman, nickname, which are acquired along with the money, which is a non-real property. But on Ipchotnam, we learned the opposite in the Mishnah. Non-real property, nickname, are only acquired along with real property. How do you acquire real property? So what are you going to do? Samalei, Misvara, Damalei, Agav. Who says that she says Agav? Agav means along with. Who says that she says you acquire me along with the money? Who says that? So this will answer all your questions. We're dealing with a person of stature over here. Right, so I guess the example, we gave this the example when we dealt with it in Daf Hey, is if you buy an esrog for the rabbi. Right, you buy an esrog for the rabbi, and the rabbi says, oh, this is a beautiful esrog, I'm going to use it. Right, the person who bought the esrog is not expecting a payment from the rabbi for the esrog. The fact that the rabbi will use the esrog is a, right, makes him feel special that you picked an esrog that the rabbi is going to use. So that is a hanah, that generates hanah. So the same thing over here. There's certain people of stature, right, that if you give them a gift, the mere fact that they accept the gift, right, is a benefit. It has some sort of hanah. It's not about the payment that's being given. It's about the benefit that you receive from the fact that this person accepted your gift, was willing to take such a gift. Well, no, the hanah has to be shavah pruta. I mean, the value of that gift acceptance has to be worth at least a pruta.
It's a negative hanah, you know, because he's the one that's making the payment.
All right, but that's not what she's not marrying with the payment. She's marrying with the fact that she is, she's going to basically say that he says, you are going to marry me with the value or benefit that you are receiving from my acceptance of this gift. That's exactly how he's going to frame it. Right? She will allow herself to be acquired or to be have kiddushin be effective. We have a similar statement from Rava, right? The chain leinyan memona, right? That we also have over from Rava. These principles apply by momon. So Rashi lists out the same principles over here, but we had all these principles by kiddushin, which were the three cases that Rava gave above. The cases of where there's a third party, an arev, is willing to subjugate himself to or encumber himself without any benefit coming to him. Number two was the case of Evi Kanani, which is that without any receiving any benefit, one is able to acquire. And the third case is both, where you receive no benefit, give no benefit, yet there's a transaction able to be created between them. So same thing by Mamona. If you look in Rashi, right across a little bit up from where we are in the Mishnah Gemara, Mechain Linyan Mamona in Rashi says, Hanach Shmaita the Rava, the Alpina Kiddushim in Din Arevim, Divin Evi Kanani, Kain Linyan Mamona, applies to the same thing by monetary matters. Machar lo sadeh. Person sells a field. Vamalo tena kesef laploni. Vasadai mechurach. Right? Or sadi mechurach. He says, give the money to a third party, and my field is yours. Right? So bo kona midin arev. Again, he'll be kona midin arev. I mean, so that's your question. I mean, somewhat of your question, which is that really he's giving him the money that's being passed to a third party. I understand that, but that is exactly what Arev, in some senses, is doing. He's saying, listen, you know, Malka, give me the money, and then I'll lend it to the Lovah, so I'm on the hook, right? I'm on the hook. Give me the money. I'm borrowing the money. The Arev is saying, I'm borrowing the money from the Malka, and then I'm handing it to the Lovah. So the same set of transaction is happening here. Arev. Halech mana, or he says like this, take a 100 zuz, utesadcha mechura leploni. Here's a payment, and then you give the field to someone else. Not to me, but to another party. That works. Kano to ploni asadeh. Midin evit kanani, right? It works from that. Tain mana leploni. Vitiknelo sadibo. So he says, give 100 zuz to this person, and he will acquire my field. Right? Kano midin shayam. Again, it will work for both of them. So you have similar or parallel cases in mecher, in transactional issues, as you have by Kiddushin. And that's what Rava says. The same principles will apply in these instances. Again, I don't know, part of the question may not be, I think this might answer your question, Mr. Halabarb, that the question of here is not whether the transaction is valid, but whether the kinyan works. Is it a kinyan so that it's irreversible in these instances? Right? Part of the arev is mishabed nafshei, is that the arev is on the hook now for this period payment. So again, if the woman, if you say, the woman says, pay 100 zuz to someone else, and then she says, I'll be married with that, is the kinyan, when the other person accepts that money, does that lock the kiddushin in? Meaning that does that create the kinyan kiddushin? Because it never touched, she never touched the money, there was never a kinyan over here, never acceptance of kinyan.
So the amount is of no consequence.
Right, up to, well, below approved. Yes, depending on how you view the amount. If you say, like the Tosfos Riazokin, that the fact that you listen to her, is what generates the, right, the Kedushin, and the amount is irrelevant as long as it's a pruta worth of value that you're, someone would pay a pruta to be listened to. Right, that would be it. If you say that the way Joel was suggesting, that the mere payment, right, going to the third party is the benefit, then you would have to have at least the pruta going to that third party to have generate the kiddushin. So I think that's part of what the Gemara is here, is there enough of a kinyan when this third party receives it to say that it's irreversible at this point? And same thing by Evi Kanani. Right, Evi Kanani is, does Evi Kanani gain his freedom even though he has done absolutely nothing? So if you've done nothing, can you create a kinyan that is irreversible? I think that's part of what the Gemara is after here, not literally whether there's hana or not hana and stuff like that, but more about, is the kinyan valid to the sense that the kiddushin is effective and cannot be undone, or by mechar, that the transaction cannot be undone? Alright, v'tzricha, and we need both that Rava to say that it works by kiddushin and works by mamon. Why is that? Ni'ashmeinon kiddushin mishum deha itita nechala b'chol dehu kiddereish lakish. The reason it works by a woman is because any form of hana is sufficient to generate kiddushin, because of this principle, d'amareish lakish tov l'meitan ta'andu l'meiteva of armelu. There was a general principle of the Gemara, but that's applicable today or not. Many posts believe it's not applicable today, but that in the time of the Gemara, there was a belief that a woman would prefer to be married than to be single. It wouldn't matter who the suitor was, wouldn't matter who the husband was, but being married was almost a necessity. We saw that many times in Ksubos, that a woman was without mizonot, that she had no way to support herself and no way to, right, to maintain herself, like we had that by Almona, but other issues, therefore without being married. And therefore we allowed, there were dispensations for her to get married or for her to be supported in these instances. So here the Gemara says that a woman would prefer to be married than not married, and therefore with even the smallest benefit would give herself over to kiddushin. But by mamon, we're dealing with transactional stuff, right, where there is no psychology involved, and then we say, no, you got to give the real value, or you have to have a kinyan that's involved with the real value. Had you just told me mamon has the ability to be mochel, meaning that it's my property. I have the choice to do with my property as I wish. Meaning I can give away my field, I can give my money away, I can do it as I please with my money. About kiddushin, that may not be true. That's not true with kiddushin, right? Because by kiddushin, the woman cannot forgive or forego her receipt of the pruta. I mean that she must get a pruta in order to have the kiddushin be effective. And that was Tosfos's question on Rashi. Rashi suggested before, why didn't kinyan chalipin work? Why does kinyan chalipin not work by a woman? Because the Gemara said there is bom shabin nafsha pocha mishavet pruta, that she would not give herself over for less than a shavet pruta. Chalipin could be effective even in less than a pruta. So the Gemara, the Tosfos was asked on Rashi. She says, why did Rashi say, what's the problem? It's a g'nai hula. It's beneath her to accept kiddushin and less than a pruta. So it's also said, sounds like from Rashi, if she said, you know what, it's okay with me, that you could effectively create kiddushin below a pruta, according to Rashi. Because if she just says, you know what, I'm okay, this isn't beneath me to accept such a kiddushin, it would work. And you see here, and the Gemara is pretty clear, that that does not work. A woman, that kiddushin is not leaped on the mechila. You can't be mochel your need for the pruta or the kesef to generate the kiddushin. And so therefore, it may not be effective without the actual pruta coming here, and therefore, tzricha. And then for Rava's statement is necessary both by mamon, by transactions, and by kiddushin to teach us that it's effective in both instances.
Is that part of the midoraita or midorabanan?
The requirement for what?
It's
midoraita, because the requirement of Torah, that's what Tosfos talks about, the requirement of Torah is kesef. And what is the definition of kesef? What's the definition of money?
Alright,
but that's an alternative, but that's not functioning under kesef. If you want to use kesef, the Torah allows you to use kesef. If you want to use kesef, the definition for kesef is pruta. That's the lowest coinage that is defined as kesef.
That is not something that the Rabbanu decided we want to make it at this puta in order for...
No, that's the qualification, that's the definition. It's a definition of a term, not a rabbinic shiur on the number.
But this is not in the case of kesef, it's hadol.
It is in the case of it's functioning through kesef, right? Right, so Rava says it does work, and that this hanah can replace kesef. I mean that the hanah is you can marry with kesef or shavah kesef, money or equivalence of money.
That hanah is not shavah kesef. That hanah is a different thing. We've just seen that.
You would have thought. Right. If you had just talked about it in transactions, I would have thought that it does not work by kiddushin because you need something of substance. You can't, hanah is not, these intangible items would not be sufficient. The Rebbe comes to teach you that these intangible hanah is sufficient and is equivalent of monetary value.
Less than a pruta.
No, it has to be equal to a pruta.
You can't even confer the value on the
pruta. You have to say, what would the third party pay to have this done? So you assign, how do you value something? As you say, a third party, if I wanted someone to listen to me, how much would I pay them to listen to me and do this item? Farova. All right, so now these are cases. We had these cases in Gittin. Actually, these interesting cases. He says, you know what? Marry half of me. He says, marry half of me. And then we say, mikudesh, it works. What? Chetziach, mikudeshedli, half of you is married to me, and mikudesh, it doesn't work. What's the difference? He says, you marry half of you, and it doesn't work. Alright, isha, my rahman, of lo chetziach, because it says, kikach ishisha, gotta marry the whole woman, and not a portion or part of the woman. Hakanami ish. Amar Rachmana v'lo chatzish. Say the same thing over here. It says a whole man has got to marry the woman, not half a man. So I'm like, okay, Ashta, how can you compare the cases? Hotam itzal the beitrei lo chazia. A woman cannot marry two men. El gavra milo chazia the beitrei. A man can marry more than one woman. And therefore, when he says marry half of me, this is what he means. V'achi kamerla dibin lemitzav achrin danisibna. That if I want to marry another woman, I'm entitled to marry another one. When he says marry half of me, he's not saying you only marry half. You're marrying the whole of me. But I'm reserving the right to marry other women in this instance. As opposed to when he says to the woman, I'm going to marry half of you, this woman cannot marry another party, meaning that she must be entirely mikudeshet to this individual. Some of them are Zutra Bray, the Ramari, the Ravina, Vinishad Law, Kiddushe Bikulo. We have a principle in Kodshim. Since we're using the term of Kiddush, or the Kadesh, Isha, we have a principle in Kodshim. What's the principle in Kodshim? Basically, if you're Makdish, a portion of an animal, you say a portion of this animal belongs to Hekdesh, then we don't say that just that portion of the animal belongs to Hekdesh, but the Hekdesh spreads to the entirety of the animal. The entire animal becomes Hekdesh. So why don't we say the same thing in our case over here? In our case, the woman, you say, I'm marrying half this woman, and the Kiddushim will be mitpashet. It will encompass the entirety of the woman. Since you can't marry half the woman, when you say half, it spreads and encompasses the whole of the woman. Because Milo Tanya, don't we have a brace? Omer Raglash El Zulola, he says the leg of this animal is an Ola. Take Kula Ola, it becomes entirely an Ola. That becomes entirely a Korban Ola. Afilamanda marrying Kula Ola, even according to the opinion over there who says that when you just makdish a leg, it does not spread out entirely. So as long as you don't be makdish a vital organ. Right. About makdish dovash in a shamat fluyabo. If you makdish a vital organ, even he agrees, because there's no way to separate out that organ. There's no way to separate out that limb or that organ. Have you kulola? And it's an olala. And of course, with a woman, half a woman, right, there's no way you can split a woman in half, right? And therefore, of course, it would spread to the entirety of the woman. So my says, midami. Hotam behema. Hachadat acheret. So there's a big difference. What? There you talk about, I would use the term inanimate object, but it's an animate object, but you're talking about an animal which has no independent, right, thought or independent exertion of rights. And therefore, when you're makdish a portion of the animal, it spreads the entire animal because the animal can't object, right, to that. Where hachadat acheret. Here we're talking about a woman who has rights to accept kedushin, refuse kedushin, meaning that she works on her own volition. She has her ability to say no. So if you ask her to marry you for half, that doesn't entitle you to the other half, because she hasn't given you the other half, and you can't automatically assume you will get the other half. So Allah Dami Allaha, this is only similar to this, Dami Rabbi Yochanan, Behema Shal Shnei Shutfin. You have an animal that belongs to two partners. Right? Hikdish Chetzia, if you're Makdish, half the animal, I mean one of the partners is Makdish Anzer, Bechazer Elokha, and then he buys out the other partner. So when he buys out the other partner, what happens? Do we say that the Kedusha spreads now, because now he owns the entire animal and it should spread? Or what? Or does he have to makdish the second half after he buys it? So when it says Chazav Elokha Bekdisha, right? If he does, it goes to buy the second half, he must be makdish. And if he is makdish it, Kedusha Kedusha Vein Akreva, it's Kadosh, but does not go on the Mizbeach. Vose Tmura, and it will do Tmura. What does it mean? It will make Tmura, that if you try to exchange this with another animal, the Kedusha from this animal will go on to another animal, and the Tmura, which is a general principle in Tmura, will be derived from the Kedusha of this animal, which will not end up in his Zbeach, so the new Tmura will also not end up in his Zbeach. Shmami Natlat. From this case, we learn three things. These are important principles, three important principles. Shmami Na, Balei Chayim Nidachim. The first thing is that live animals can be pushed off the Mizbeach. There's a principle, we see it's a halachic principle that shows up a lot in Kodshim, but also shows up in Lulav and Esrog and other places, which is that if some object of mitzvah or some object that's going to be used was available to be used for a mitzvah or available to us to go on the Mizbeach, and then for some reason it was invalidated, it became invalid, it can no longer end up on the Mizbeach, it became invalid, it can no longer be used for the mitzvah, that's what's called nireh. It was available, v'nidche, and then pressed away. Generally, we say nira v'nidche, it cannot then be nira again. It's no longer. Meaning that you get one chance to be valid. If it was invalidated, the invalidation is permanent. And you can't come back and revalidate such an object. So an animal, for instance, in our case here, you have an animal that was available to end up on the Mizbeach, because it was an animal, that a live animal could end up on the Mizbeach. It was invalidated to go on the Mizbeach. Why? Because I was makdish only half the animal. Half the animal and the other owner, the partner, wasn't makdish. And since that's the case, right, then the animal now became invalid to go on the Mizbeach, because what was it kadosh for? It was kadosh for kedushat damim, for its monetary value. When I makdish something that doesn't go on the Mizbeach, what does it mean that I give it over to Hekdesh? It's a donation to Hekdesh. That means I sell my portion, and I give that value to Hekdesh. So that was makdish half the animal, that means it's no longer valid to go on the Mizbeach, and it is now, since it was invalidated, it will no longer end up on his back. Even when I buy the animal later, the other half in Makdashit, it will not end up on his back. So one person is Bali Chayim. As long as the animal is alive, it can still be invalidated. Now there's a Machlokas. In other places, there's a Machlokas in Yoma and other places, whether the invalidation can only take place after Shchuta, once it's Shechted. Meaning that once it's Shechted, it becomes invalidated, it can no longer be valid anymore. Or even beforehand, even while it's still alive. For instance, we just had this by Yoma, the Shnei Kalkin. Right, we have a lottery for the two Seirim. Right? The question is, if one of the Seirim dies, what's the status? Right? You have to bring two Seirim and put a lottery on them. If one of them dies, what's the status of the other Seir that's still alive? Right? Do you say that it's Nidche, that it's done, it was valid, became invalidated, now we need to bring another pair entirely? Or do we say no, that it's still available because it wasn't Shechted yet? So that's my focus, whether it's Balei Chayim Nidachim or only Shchutim Nidachim. Right? So here we prove from here that Balei Chayim, even live animals, can be rejected from his back and invalidated because our case here is with a live animal. Number two is, if something never became valid to end up on the Mizbeach, right, nevertheless, it would be invalidated. For this case, what? This, from the moment it was made kadosh, this animal was never invalid to go on the Mizbeach. Because how was it? He was makdashit ladam for its value. So the moment Hekdesh ever entered the picture of this animal, it was not valid to end up in the Mizbeach. You would have thought, maybe it has to first be valid to end up in the Mizbeach, and then invalidated, and that wouldn't create an invalidation. But what happens if you have a priori an invalidation? I mean, it never touched, it never became valid. So that's the case here. Well, it was invalid from day one. So that's the second thing we learned. Shema mino, and the third thing we learn over here is shema mino yesh dichui bedamim. That monetary value can generate a dichui, right? That monetary value, because over here, that when you're makdish for kedushat damim, for its value, right? Nevertheless, we knock off this animal, even though it's in the realm of hakdish. Nevertheless, being makdish for its monetary value is enough to take it out of the realm of hakdish. So Mara says, Bayrav, alright, so that's, anyway, all of those teach us that in this instance, when you're makdish half the woman, it does not spread to the other half of the woman. And you have to get, if you get her permission, or you have to makdish. So that's what Rav is going to test over here. What does it mean now? You have to get the other half of the woman. So Rav is going to test these qualifications. Vayrova. Chetziach v'chatzi puta. Chetziach v'chatzi puta. He marries and says, listen, I'll marry half of you for half a puta, and the other half of you for another half a puta. Mo. Came into Amar Law, chatzi puta, paska. Since he says half a puta, he's done. There's one transaction. Then there's two different transactions. It doesn't work. Because you need at least a puta to marry the woman. Oh, Dilma, mona aleichu. He's like counting. You say, listen, half a puta for this, half a puta for this. Oh, total, the total package is a puta for the whole of you. And that's how we say it. So now, if Tim Salam Mar says, if you conclude, Mona Volechu, that he's really enumerating, he's counting to a whole, so the package was a puta for the whole woman, that works. Then, Chetziach puta, the Chetziach puta, what is it? He said, half of you for a full puta, and another half of you for a whole puta. I'm out. Kim de Lamar puta, puta, Pascal Amilse. Since he gave sufficient, puta is sufficient to have a transaction or a kidushin be valid, but he said puta, he ended, and now he's trying to generate another kedushin with an additional pruta. Oduma kobi yomei monavaholiku. As long as it's on the same day, it's considered a singular kedushin or a single transaction, and therefore when they are interacting, it's a one kedushin, even though he's paying up two pruta. Imtim shalomar kobi yomei monavaholiku. If you say that anything that transaction that's done the same day is one transaction, hetzach bepruta yom. He says half of you for pruta today, bechetzia pruta lamachar, and the other half of you I'm going to buy pruta tomorrow. But he says it today. He says both of them today. So now, Mo, came down my lala machar pascha. Since he says today and tomorrow, those are two separate transactions. Well, then, Achi Kamala, Kiddushin Matchulu Amayidna. Our Kiddushin are starting today, right? Umigamala, Nigmaru Agamachar, but we only finish our Kiddushin tomorrow. So, and the Gemara doesn't conclude on this, and that's another question. Shechet Siech Bekruta says, your two halves for one pruta. Mo, Acha Vade Bechadazim Nekamala. He's saying it in one shot, so it works. Well, then, Maini Shamit Kadesh, the Chatzin Klau. You can't marry half a woman. It just does not work. Take it there. The Gemara leaves it inconclusive. So last two cases, according to the Gemara, inconclusive for sure. According to the Rambam, possibly the other two cases were concluded. Other Rishonim, the entire sequence here would be inconclusive.
The Rambam is difficult because here we're stating a general principle. You can't do the chatzayin, and that would go back.
Well, it's a take, right. It would go back to the original. Right. It would affect the original thing, and that's true. In this case, it's interesting. The Rambam, you don't see the Mishpat over here does not pass, and the Rambam doesn't pass on like all these cases. So if you say there is no such thing as kiddushin lehetzich, it will go back and affect all these cases, and then we wouldn't pass on like any of these cases. Okay. So by Rava, shnei b'no tayach, the shnei b'nai b'puta. Here you have two katanim, two young girls, And he goes to the father, two fathers come along. He says, I have two sons, you have two daughters. You know, your two daughters will marry my two sons, and here's a pruta. We go after the giver and the receiver, and there's one transaction. You're a giver, receiver, one pruta will be sufficient for both of them. And they have money. Or do we go by the party, the number of marriages being generated over here? There are two marriages being generated. We need to pruta. The Gemara says, take it. We leave it inconclusive. So, very well, Papa. Bitcha uparatcha bepruta. I'm going to have your daughter and your cow for one pruta. Meaning that 50% for the girl, 50% for the para. So now you have half a pruta, doesn't work. The daughter is for the pruta, and then the rest is a gift. The para is a gift. Why? Because you can't acquire a para with money. You can't use money. You need a kinyan to acquire the para. So giving money is not going to be an acquisition here. Take the Gemara leaves it inconclusive. What happens if your daughter and land value for a pruta? Half the pruta goes for the calf and for the daughter, and half the daughter for the land, because there you can't acquire land with money. Your daughter is for the full pruta, because you know you can't make kiddushin without a pruta, so it'll be sufficient. And the money and the land will be acquired through chazakah. And the Gemara says, teiku. I'll leave it there. That's a inconclusive over here. So that's it. How gavra the akdish mishirai. This individual who was makdish through silk. He used shirai, used silk. Rabba amar lo tricha shuma. You do not have to value the silk to see how much it's worth for this transaction. Rabbi Yosef amar tricha shuma. You do have to value the silk to know that we have sufficient for the transaction. So the Gemara says, ida amar lo bekodahu. If he says that I'm marrying you with any amount, then puli amar lo pligate lo tricha shuma. You don't have to value it, because the silk is clearly worth more than a pruta. So if he says that, that works. Ida amar lo chamshin. But if he says, I'm marrying you with 50 zuz, and then he gives her silk, right? When he gives her 50 zuz, and he says, I'll marry you with the silk, then we need to value it. What? Lo shavu chamshin. And it's not worth 50, ha lo shavu, then there's no marriage here. Keep leaving. Ida amar chamshin, v'shavu chamshin. Case where it's worth 50, and he said, I'll marry you with 50. Rabba amar lo tzricha shuma, da shavu chamshin. We don't have to go now get expert validation that this is the value here, and the kedushin are valid. Right? Rabbi Yosef amar tzricha shuma. You have to go get third parties to value this property, make sure that when he said 50 and it's worth 50, that's really what an expert would say is the value. Came into Italo Bikia Bishuma. Because a woman doesn't know the real value or true value of such an item. Lo sam chadata, she would not give herself over until she knows for certain that the value of this item is worth 50, worth the half there. Alright, we'll stop over here.